Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So Tita fucked up.
Wow. Okay, so this is 158. We have a special guest. Please introduce yourself.
Okay, cool.
Not even looking at you.
Yeah. So, hi, everybody. I'm Kunal Chopra. I don't know why they're doing this to me, but...
No, I thought we'd have a weird... It's more of a police investigation than
A
kind of podcast.
So, where were you an hour ago?
That's a good question. My attorney will come back to you.
Yeah.
So she's dead. We knew it. She's dead.
This is episode 158. It's Monday morning. We're going to get this pod out for you so you can listen all day Monday. This will make your day. You might be listening Tuesday, so it makes no sense at all. But we are here. It's been a full-on weekend of football. We're going to talk about Premier League. We'll talk about this team, Milan. And then we'll talk about Allsvenskan. We'll talk about Finskenskenskin. Allsvenskan. That was a great thing. And we'll talk about Huddersfield winning in the 93rd fucking minute. So where shall we start? Shall we start for the Sunday game? Let's have a look at that. It was 4-0.
Oh, what a horsing.
Yeah.
Horsing.
But don't you think when you go down 1-0 after 31 seconds... And defensively,
atrocious. That's one of the worst Manchester United defensive performances I've seen in my entire life, I think. I mean, everybody says Smalling was shit, but he had a really terrible game. But Daley Blind was even on the pitch. I mean,
see, I think Blind is slightly overrated for me.
Yeah.
So, but he's been criticised for a while now, I think. I think the problem is he played in centre half last season for Van Gaal, and people say, oh, he's not a centre half, he's a left back. And the last couple of games he's played left back, I don't know exactly what he gives you. He doesn't foray forward that hard. He's not great defensively. He doesn't close up his corridor at all. So I think he had a terrible game yesterday.
Did Evra go to Italy?
Evra, why he did?
Van Gaal didn't want him anymore.
Yeah, exactly. It wasn't like by choice. It was he didn't want it anymore.
Didn't renew his contract.
Yeah, and that's it's pretty strange.
He was getting older, sure, but he definitely would have done the job.
Yeah. There.
What was your take on the game then?
Okay, first off, I think that the first goal, as you say, I think it was pretty decisive because it opens up United. Okay, so United's game plan, or Mourinho's game plan even, has been...
His game plan was play 0-0.
Yeah, exactly, as he did against Liverpool. Yeah. And Liverpool and Chelsea, offensively, I think they're pretty similar when it comes to, you know, capability, right? So I think the first goal was pretty decisive. And what I think the focus... Okay, if... I actually talked to a friend about this yesterday. That if you want
a friend,
I have one friend.
One friend, yeah.
Yeah, believe it or not. Yeah, of course. So I told him that, you know, if you want to play the football, the type of football Mourinho wants to play with United, which is pretty much just closing the game offs and hoping that Zlatan creates something, right?
Yeah.
Then you need better players defensively. Okay. And offensively, if you have those, because he's still got like great football players, you need a plan. He doesn't have an offensive plan at all. So
for me, he's unbalanced.
Yeah, exactly. And I think like for me, the way he wants to play, he doesn't have the right kind of material for it. So something needs to happen pretty much now. Okay, we have like he has like one or two games where they, and remember this. Most of the goals they score is of headers or kind of, you know, a corner or set a free kick. Set pieces, right?
Yeah.
So sometimes they get, I don't want to say lucky, they have a good night where they basically can score off of set pieces. And people are, okay, yeah, now they are on the right track. But I haven't seen one United game this season where I've been like, wow.
Yeah.
Not a wow. I think at Liverpool with a better team and everything, but that looked like a Mourinho kind of performance team. So that was the first game I saw where I felt, okay, he might be able to put his stamp on this team his way, because his team needs to have extremely clear identities. Everybody knows exactly what they're doing, and then it works, all right?
Yeah.
Then it kind of works. And now we've seen lately, is the problem that he just lost Chelsea, or has he lost something? I'm on the track now since last season when we said he came to United. I still think that he's getting a little bit outdated. This happens to all managers. So, and some few managers can stay on and adapt for years. Sir Alex Ferguson was one of them.
I love the way you call him Sir.
That's
Sir. Indian of you.
No, that would be Sir Alex Ferguson, Sir. Which actually means head. So that would be a big head Ferguson.
Wenger,
of course. But I think Ferguson is even a step higher than that because he's won more and stuff like that. But Wenger definitely adapts himself and kept Arsenal top four for 20-odd years. So that's pretty amazing. Most other managers, they fall off. Sven Göran, Capello, everybody. But now Lippi is in China.
But
the only reason Lippi is starting to take national teams is he's not good enough to be a coach on fucking club level.
Interesting thing, though, these coaches you're mentioning, they have a similar style of football, right?
With Mourinho?
Yeah, Mourinho, Capello. My point of view. Okay?
I don't agree. Sir Alex Ferguson didn't play that way.
No, not Sir Alex Ferguson. The ones that you've seen.
Just call him Alex. Just call him Fergie, okay?
Fergie's the lead singer of the Black Eyed Peas. Yeah. Come on now.
I don't want to start thinking about Sir Alex Ferguson when I'm, you know, alone.
Doing
stuff.
Blue-nosed peas.
No, what I'm saying is basically the coaches you're mentioning who has basically kind of fallen off, like Capello, Lippi.
Dinosaurs.
The dinosaurs. You know what? The Mourinho style of playing football is the old Italian way of playing football.
No,
and it's so dead.
I mean, it's not only that. I think that we talked about this a lot with new coaches coming and you...
Yeah.
Like how to break down the Barcelona kind of team, how to... There are tactic changes coming up. And of course, a coach that's been immensely successful for the past 15 years, but especially the last 5 or 6 years, you've seen big trends in football that is changing.
Yeah.
I mean, and it always does. Formations, it's different formations now. The pressing system is different. Some team are playing like you think their bottom team would play, like, you know, like the Liverpool or the Tottenham or even the City or Barcelona. Even.
Huddersfield.
Stuff like that. You see that it is changing a little bit. I'm just saying that I'm not sure that he's really capable of tagging along. He said that he reinvents himself every year.
But what's he done? What's he done now? He's had Real Madrid, struggled really towards the end. Chelsea was a disaster.
Yeah.
You know,
The second spell,
and then I agree. They haven't kicked on at all. There's been moments when you're like, oh, but I think it's a team full of stars. It's not a team at the moment.
I mean, if you look at his old clubs where he's gone, even in the beginning, you can quite early see that he's put a stamp on his team, and they're going to be difficult to beat. You haven't seen that with United this year because they have one of those games that's okay, and then they haven't been good. And then if you look at the squad, I don't feel that's a Mourinho squad. And I think the balance of his team is way, way wrong. I don't agree with the balance at all. Having Fellaini, Herrera play against like a Hull team, I can understand that. But against a bigger team, you have Herrera and Fellaini in the middle. There's no protection for the defence. Herrera can run and stuff like that, but he's not positionally a defensive midfielder naturally. Fellaini is not mobile enough for that formation as well. Fellaini is good against a weaker team because you have an extra guy and set pieces. That's basically his work. In a lesser team, like an Everton played there, he's good playing off as a number 10 as well, because you can use him like a fucking Niall Quinn in the Premier League, but not in a top team to play him from the get-go. I mean, to be honest, when you look at the decisions here, was it so fucking clever to even leave a Bastian Schweinsteiger off that he decided he's absolutely shit? How shit can he be when you see Fellaini playing that formation? He doesn't work in that formation.
No.
He, if you're going to play Fellini, I think you can play Fellini in a back three in front of the back three. That's a possible formation for him because he can stay there and tuck in whenever a centre half needs to go out on the wing. That's the only thing I can see in a bigger team. Otherwise, I don't see him playing in a big team with any tactical kind of play. So I think insisting playing Pogba now as number 10 because he had one good game against Fenerbahce. They bought a player for 90 million and they don't know where to fucking play him.
What about insisting that Zlatan plays at the moment? Does he have to play?
No, but
he's gonna play him.
Yeah.
He's gonna do what people thought he was gonna do with Rooney. It's Rooney he discarded but kept Zlatan. Yeah. And Zlatan at the moment, I'm sorry, you're absolutely shit. I don't care what the Swedish fan thinks. He hasn't adapted to the Premier League for shit. The last four games, he's been, to be honest, not bad. He's been atrocious. Atrocious is the word.
Okay, but
doesn't hold up the ball.
And I'm not.
Doesn't press.
Yeah.
Missed the simple passes. Hasn't had a single shot on goal. Missed two easy headers.
To be honest, I'm not a big Zlatan fan. But I've followed his career like most of the Swedes have. So what I would say is, Zlatan started this league with like 6 goals in 5 games or something like that.
Not that much.
Yeah.
4 but, or 5, but yeah.
But whatevs. So what I'm trying to say is, okay, he has missed some chances and he's not creating the chances on his own at the moment. But he's not that player anymore. So the team is a non-functional team. Same goes for Pogba. Pogba, if you would play Pogba, like for instance, just put Pogba in Chelsea or whatever, you would see that I'm not saying he's worth that money, but he's a really good player.
Of course he's a good player.
So what I'm saying is,
I'm saying they're playing him wrong as well.
Yeah,
but the whole team structure is wrong.
The only games that I've seen with United where they've been kind of okay looking is when Mata is playing, because he is taking charge of the offensive. Mm. He's getting the ball.
I agree rolling. That they're lacking.
They're lacking
when they play, they're lacking a playmaker type of player.
Yeah.
I'm not talking creative. They're creative players.
Yeah.
But a playmaker type of player who wants to get the ball
and
look to put it into small pockets or put it forward or try at least. At the moment, when you have Pogba there, I'm sorry to say, I don't know what the fuck they're thinking. Pogba has never been that player.
No.
He's never been the player to number 10, pick up the ball, have small dinks here and there, play 1-2s and go. No way. If he's going to go forward 4-8, as he said he likes to, well, he's like a roaming playmaker in that sense. From the midfield, he likes to step up forward. But then he needs a good defensive midfield beside him, or a structure or formation that works, as it did in
three. So he can bomb forward.
Like in the Chelsea team we saw with Conte, he's had a different approach there. He wants to have two sitting defenders, but Kante can roam forward in this formation. Yeah. And he did, and he scored, and he did a lot of forays forward. And Matic is the one holding it back. He knows essentially they're a bit weak, that case, because whenever the ball came out to the... He's very clever. He played Azpilicueta on the right side with Moses as an attacking wing back. So he covered him the entire game, every time the ball came there. And I thought it was a great analyst of the game afterwards that... When you see a back three, the problem is that when one centre half goes to the wing, you're exposed centrally. They never were. They always had two players there. Yeah. That was Cahill and Lewis all the time, complete, only holding Zlatan. And if Pogba pushed there, well, you had Matic and Kante all along. They never opened up the space. And that's where we want to open up the space in the 3-4-3, in the back three. But Chelsea's done really well. And Conte especially knows very well how to play a back three. And on the other card, he had Marcus Alonso.
Let's compliment Chelsea as well.
Yeah.
Right? Oh, brilliant game. You know. Best game of the season for them. And they've been steamrolling.
They're four in a row now.
Haven't conceded since switch formation.
Yeah.
Haven't conceded a single goal. And not even been close.
They're 9-0 since their...
9-0, yeah, exactly. I think they had 25-3 in shots.
Yeah.
It's a big advantage for them, and it's really working at the moment. And I think this game settled that Chelsea team for the first time in 1.5 years. Over a season, it settled them for the first time, believing, oh yeah, we are a fucking brilliant team.
Yeah.
And this formation is working. It's so different from the old Mourinho era or any of the old managers.
Yeah.
So I think this was a big opening for them.
Yeah, he's basically implementing whatever he did in Juventus. And, you know, from what I've seen in the last couple of years in the Italian league, in the Serie A, is basically this formation for Conte, if he has the right players to play it, it's so stable. You know, that's why I'm not going to be... Because I've told... My first tip for winning this season was Chelsea, but I want to see, and they didn't have.
I still don't think they're gonna win the league.
I think they're going to win the league because I think they have probably the best defensive qualities in the Premiership.
With David Luiz?
David Luiz, no, Cahill, but, and Azpilicueta. What are you high?
No, okay, but listen. It's not Matic. About... It's okay, okay. It's about...
You mean the team itself, as a unit?
Let him talk!
Okay, so what's the main differences between David Luiz's playing style and Chiellini's playing style? Would you agree at some point they're similar?
I think that David Luiz is a good player in this formation for Conte. Exactly. That I do agree.
And that's
the only formation Luiz can play, because in this formation, he wants at least one center half to take a step forward into midfield. Yeah. He wants that. So he wants ball playing defense that way. And David Luiz is good for that. So that's I have no argument there that in this formation under Conte, David Luiz is definitely a decent player.
And
there.
Exactly that happened to Chiellini. And Chiellini is maybe considered one of the best.
But I think Chiellini was better before even.
He was good, but he wasn't.
I've never rated David Luiz in that way. I think Chiellini always are rated.
And David Luiz is not going to become like one of the best fullbacks. No, one of the best defensive players in the world. Yeah, exactly. But what I'm trying to say is the way they are playing. You know, you just need decent players. That's it. And players that can listen and take, you know, the strategic...
He's a great coach. You could see that in the Italian team as well. He didn't have great players there either. But I'm just saying, over the season in England, I do believe that certain teams is going to play, somebody's going to court the formation a little more. So I don't think they're going to win the league. I don't think so. I think against a very high energy pressing team, that's the team that can beat that kind of a team. And same goes for other high pressing teams like Liverpool and Tottenham, that this is usually the way to attack. So I think they're going to face a little bit different with certain teams, find out how to play. I think they're a bit shocked still, some of the teams playing them. They have no idea at the moment really how to break
what
them
I
down.
What I do like about him is he doesn't seem to be as stubborn. They got dicked at Arsenal, you know.
No, he's never been stubborn.
He has changed the formation. Worked. I don't think Mourinho will do that.
Nah.
Now, interesting with Conte. It was very pragmatic. He came in and started a formation that he didn't. That it's not his formation. His formation is the 3-4-3. I mean, he's played that for years. And he started off something. He said, "Oh, maybe I don't have the players for it." Mm. Didn't work out. And then he went to the formation he liked. So he actually started the other way. He started with another formation. But talking about changing formation back three, Manchester City did the same thing. Played a back three again. Absolutely stupid decision. I have no idea what the fuck's going on. They were so narrow. Never had anyone in the wings with Son and Sterling way up there. I don't know what was going on. They never got a hold of the game of Southampton. Southampton had a brilliant game, of course, as well. Yeah. But you can see there as well, he tried to change formation because they had four games without a win. It didn't work. Second time it does that, didn't work this game at all.
Stones had a good game.
Oh, it was terrible. But that was terrible back pass. But I think when you see the replay as well, there are many players at fault there as well. I think Kompany actually put Stones a lot into trouble. And I thought it was really good.
But Stones makes a lot of mistakes.
He does, but he plays, that's a little bit the way you want him to play as well. But maybe should cool that down a little bit. A bit too adventurous at times.
Yeah.
But you can see, if he turns out to be the player he is, he would be a perfect Guardiola player, of course. And he could become one of the better English centre-halves because he is very good on the ball. Yeah. He's got a good technique. He is good defensively.
He reminds me of... Okay, Busquets is not a centre-half, but he reminds me a lot of Busquets. And Busquets has been an underrated player. I still hate that guy, Busquets. But he's an underrated football player. He's always
underrated. He plays for the fucking best team in the world.
No, but they aren't the best team in the world. No, I just
want to... They're considered the best team in the world.
Huddersfield Town.
I mean, obviously, if you look at the past 10 years, it's the most successful team in the world.
Yeah, okay. I would agree with that, but Busquets hasn't been there for 10 years as well. He played regularly for five years
almost.
Yeah, okay, but and what I'm saying,
I don't think he's underrated. Maybe he plays the position where people don't get as much as they should get.
Well, in Spain,
he's very high regarded. In Barcelona, he's very high regarded.
Now he is. But I'm still saying that.
He lost it, mate. You're doing a James McKay at the moment.
No, no. What he's
having a seizure.
No. What he's trying to do with Stones, and I saw that in the game against Barcelona. Yeah. He's trying to play those risky passes, you know, that just cuts
the
team in two, right? Yeah. But he does. He's still not there. And no, you know, that's
I would more say that he tries to play him more as a traditional, like, 80s, 90s German sweeper then.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what Busquets is doing in Barcelona
but
as
like
well.
In this back three he played now, he played on the right side of Kompany.
Yeah.
On the left side was Kolarov.
Yeah.
And he had no fucking idea what to do every time he got the ball. Yeah. And I think, unfortunately, a big mistake in that game was actually Kompany. Yeah. Kompany constantly took wrong positions whenever they had the ball. They were clueless. He didn't know if the ball was going back to... Either he doesn't trust Bravo at all, or he trusts him way too much. I mean, you couldn't decide.
He probably hasn't played with Bravo, is the
problem is his positions, whenever they got the ball, Salah and Sterling never came down to meet Stones. He got the ball all the time, Stones, right? So after, like, 5 passes and 5 seconds, the 3 players, Kolarov, Kompany and Stones, are like... in the same spot. They have nobody drop back to get the ball and pass around. They can't pass to the right or left. There's no one there. So it never opened up. So it was very easy for Southampton. Southampton actually pressed with 3 players up front. They put 3 players on the back three.
Three's a company, yeah.
Yeah. So that's all. They just pressed them.
It's like getting blood out of a stone. Yeah.
Yeah. So if you compare that to what United did to Chelsea, not at all, nothing. They did nothing of that sort. They didn't press in that way. They didn't let them to close down any space. But then if you looked at Chelsea, Moses and Alonso did the dirty work as a wing-back. Sterling and Sané did not. So.
Fair play. And that's why they're playing and not Oscar and Willian as well. You know, they're they're better team players, and that's what you want to see from a, you know,
I mean,
it's exactly what United is not doing. That's what Chelsea is doing.
That Moses has come in and actually holding that place down. He's doing a good job there, and he's been loaned out for a couple of every manager. And Moses said that Conte came in the summer, and he just said, "I like the way you train. I like your attitude. I'm not going to loan you out. I want you to stay and fight for your place."
Yeah.
And Moses said, "And now he's a starting 11."
Yeah.
And at this formation, Willian is not going to take his place.
No.
Willian is not going to take... Moses had 2 very, very good games. He runs his socks off there. He's got good understanding with the right fullback that now center half Azpilicueta. I think he's going to stay there.
Moses split the Red Sea, didn't he? Yeah. Really? Yeah. Didn't he? So there we go. What about this?
That's what she said.
What do you think about this?
Period.
After the game, I saw a photo of Martial and Kante...
Yeah,
hugging and stuff. Yeah. I'm not into that, folks.
They were very glad after it. Slatan was hugging. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And he was even smiling. Oh, you got thumped 4-0.
Yeah, there was no shame to it. I found that really strange.
I did feel that Hazard went to Mata and like, oh, hi. And then he whispered something in his ear for a long time. And when Mata, he's like, yeah, all right, good. And you could always see a smile on Hazard. I don't know if he was fucking having a dig in the end. Like, oh, good work there. You were still good. Better luck next time or something. He's like, what the fuck is this?
What did Jose say to Conte?
According to BBC Italia, he said that you don't celebrate at 4-0. You celebrate at 1-0. I think it was humiliating. And then everybody said then to the British that it was private. But then you can hear when the camera goes and replay, last thing he says is no 4-0. So at least he said not 4-0. And what could he meant that? Of course he meant that. Yeah. So he said that And he's just the worst loser on the planet, so, you know.
He is,
yeah.
Let's have a quick look at the other games then, because we've got the Italian expert here. We've got the Italian job. Arsenal will be disappointed, but I thought Middlesbrough looked great.
Their best game. Yeah. They should have won the game.
Yeah.
They should have won the game. Czech saved them.
Yeah. Who did they have up front? The guy?
Traoré.
What a game. The thing funny with Adama Traoré, went from Barcelona to Villa, didn't work out there as well. He did his first substitute appearance this season against Tottenham.
Yeah.
And that completely changed the game when he came on. He was... He terrorized that, but he couldn't get the final third at all. He looked kind of funny, but it was every time he got the ball. Impossible. He steamrolled through our team that game. It was like, he changed that game, but still won. Came on last week again, changed the game again. And people are thinking, why is he not starting?
Yeah.
Let's start him. Start it up. If he's playing like that, I mean, he must be the quickest player in the world at the moment. I mean, he ran off Bellerin like 4 times. I couldn't believe it. I haven't seen Bellerin get run over by any player.
Yeah.
And he ran him over and over. And this game, he actually had a good final third as well. A couple of good crosses. He's got he's got a weird technique. Yeah. Sometimes it looks really good, and sometimes it looks like, do you know how to receive a ball? It's really funny, but you know, if he, for that kind of a team, wow, we can have impact.
Yeah,
for that kind of a team, he could have impact. They sit and play deep,
but they didn't play that deep. They did go for it. They were under the shit for the last 15-20 minutes.
Yeah,
you know?
They were.
But that's classic Arsenal as well. You know, I thought the result of the day: Burnley beating Everton 2-1.
What an unfair result. Fuck, what an unfair result.
Do you know what was funny for me? It was the Koeman interview afterwards. I forgot that he speaks like that. do you ever get that? Yeah. You see a manager for ages, you don't hear them speak. And when he heard him speak, he was like, that is not good. I was like, fucking Gargamel.
It's like Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
He speaks so differently from the way he played.
Because
he played like a madman. Then he says, yes, but I'm
maybe someone hit him in the balls or something. We don't know how he sounded to be like honest. 30 years ago.
Good Scotty Arfield scored the winner. He took it well, actually, coming off the bar.
It's not that easy to score that goal.
No.
But Everton should have...
they should have won the game. But Heaton had a great game in Burnley as well. It's been this keeper year in Premier League this year. So a lot of good performances with goalkeepers. Definitely Arsenal had a great game because of Cech, because he made a save on Gaston Ramirez, which was amazing.
Yeah.
Lloris had a great save against Bournemouth as well. Played 0-0.
For me, the result of the, except the United Chelsea class is West Ham United leaving late until the 93rd or something like that. And they had
last kick of the game, and that is, I mean,
but
if I was a fan, I think that some of the players might be close to death threats.
Yeah.
What happened in that corner?
Yeah.
Oh my God! I mean, he should. The Pep Guardiola left the team behind or stuff like that. And definitely Moyes should have done that one in the last minute. I mean, wow. And when you look at the replay, I think we analyze the game. They had four players with the back against the corner taker. Yeah. Nobody took the short corner.
Do you think the guy got in the way for the
goal?
No, because they looked at it. When he shoots, he's not offside. Oh, okay. So it's not offside. Oh, okay. It's not offside at all.
Okay. The player that
might have been offside is way to the right. And he might have been offside. If you looked at the boots, we had like a picture, we looked at the boots, it looked like they were there. But definitely he is not offside. So Moyes is wrong. He doesn't know what the fuck he's talking about. He's lost the plot.
Do you think he's lost his job?
I mean, what more? What are they waiting for? What the hell is Sunderland waiting for? What will he do now?
But this is what Sunderland do.
He's not a proactive manager, you know. If they had like a Conte or a Klopp or a Pochettino or a Wagner or whatever manager who likes to play a different kind of play, you go like, okay, maybe it takes time to adapt.
Yeah.
He's inherited a team that's basically a Moyes team.
Yeah.
Okay, even if he thinks the player is not good enough. He's inherited over 2-3 managers before him that had this kind of way of playing. He comes here, he tried to play this way, it's not fucking working at all.
No.
He doesn't seem to have the players, he doesn't seem to have the tactics. He's losing. There's 2 points out of 9. That is 100% a fucking sacking situation.
Did you see Victor?
100%.
Victor Anchebe's tweet he put out.
I didn't understand it.
He obviously got someone to write it for him.
Yeah.
So he writes, yeah, can you just put something like, yeah, the lads are tired.
Disappointed.
We go again. Thanks for the great support. It's just the whole tweet went out. So it's basically like saying...
So he has somebody who does that.
Yeah, point. And it just fucking read really wrong. And then Leicester coming back to Premier League winning ways again.
Yeah.
Moussa scored his first goal.
Yeah.
Yep.
Took it well.
Swansea, a dour. Dour 0-0 with Watford.
They should have won that game though. I think Swansea had the better chance to hit the post. At the end, the Sigurdsson... He's just such a... I mean, I like Sigurdsson. Not only because he can play the Spurs, I like him. He's got a great fucking hit of the ball.
Yeah.
He's just one of those players that... He's not that quick and stuff, but he can fucking hit a ball.
Yeah, you go.
He's so good. Any foot of that, on that. Every time he takes a shot outside of, you think, oh, fuck, it might either goal or hit the target or hit the post or something. Great.
Another good weekend for someone. Shaqiri got both against Hull.
Yep. They needed that badly.
Good win for Stoke. Yeah. They won last week as well, so they seem to be kind of... I think Hull are in a lot of trouble.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I think even after a couple of games, you thought, okay, this happens, but no, I think Hull is for sure going down.
A weird thing at Hull City as well is they use the advertising banners. On the inside of them, they put songs for the for the fans for to the sing. Fans,
yeah.
That's pretty great.
That's pretty great.
That is ridiculous.
I think it's great.
I think it's great.
Why not?
That's worse than Anchibi's tweet.
No, I think it's good because there's a lot of fans. You have to understand, there's a lot of fans in the ground that doesn't know the songs and stuff like that. I think it's good for them. It's fun. The rest won't look at it. It's just the one that needs it.
Well, they used to sing Who's the Wanker in the Black, you know, for the referee.
Yeah, they can't do that
and
anymore.
Now they don't, so they sing You Don't Know What You're Doing. It's very calmed down.
Yeah.
So it's probably going to come around, you know.
They can't have the fucking...
Really
the
full
rain.
On,
no,
yeah.
They can't have that, but that might be a good thing, to be honest. It's still fun, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
It's not good to say that, but it's still fucking
they
funny.
Need all,
a football
they need all the support they can get right now, so maybe,
yeah.
You know.
How about Tottenham-Bournemouth?
Yeah, you want to talk about that game?
I think they very similar to the ones we've drawn lately, that first half we should have been up, but second half I think Bournemouth were definitely in the game. It was a tight game in the second half.
Yeah.
Uris made a good save. So I think before the game a draw is like a decent result. You need to win those games if you want to like be competing in the top. But looking at the other results, Arsenal and City, it actually worked out pretty all right. If Liverpool and Chelsea were the big winners, of course, this weekend.
Yeah.
Liverpool winning 2-1 would have gone top if they'd
1-2-0.
I think the Reds are starting to believe now. Even Klopp. I mean, Poch is kind of like playing it down. Klopp was a little bit like, yeah, I can feel it. You know, why not? 26 years or something like that. And this is exactly what happens at Liverpool. So it'll be interesting
but
if
But I think
Klopp...
it's a bit different. No, it is a bit different. I never felt this way with Brendan Rodgers that... I always thought he was a pompous bastard, just happened to have Luis Suarez in top form. And that bubble always bursts when you have one player in top form.
Yeah.
I don't feel that way about Liverpool. I do believe that Klopp, as we said last season, that he needs the season to get them together. And I do think they will be... they were the informed team until Chelsea won that game. Now it might be Chelsea.
For me, it's you know the one thing that is lacking in Liverpool, if you want to... in the top of the Premiership when the season ends, it's a good striker. I think
I don't agree with that though.
But I think you need that.
They're pushing goals from everywhere, and the strikers they do.
Yeah, but
I think
games there'll come games where they won't push.
Yeah.
But 1 year ago we were saying the Sturridge is absolutely amazing. He can't even get a minute now because the other players are doing
that.
Better.
You said
no, but
that. Yeah.
Said that, not us, man.
I didn't say that because I don't think he's the best striker in the world because he's injured way too much. But in England, he's considered as a top striker when he's in form. And then Firmino's not doing bad at all. In that formation, he's doing bad at all. And they're not struggling for goals. They don't look like they will struggle for goals for a while. I think that...
Do you see them winning the Premiership without... You know, you
I
see them as a contender.
I think Chelsea and Liverpool are hyperly dangerous because they don't have European football. I think you have to add a big, big plus for
hyper
them.
Hyper dangerous.
Yeah. Hyper dangerous.
What the Interpol said about you. Hyper dangerous.
I say hyper...
He's dangerous, but
no,
he's really...
They said hyper fertile.
But I know this is a really obvious thing. If you had a player like Aguero or someone that just puts the ball away, how brilliant would that team?
Yeah,
you know your team like say Tottenham, your thing like Liverpool, Arsenal. If you had that goal scorer, you know that
Harry Kane won the fucking top scorer last season. What do you mean?
Yeah, but where is he now?
But he's injured in a moment.
Yeah, that's where your goals. As soon as what they always said, if Kane gets injured, where are your goals going to come from? Argument one.
Two games for the past 25 goals, games we haven't scored, and there's a crisis. I think people...
Potch out.
I think that people jump... after 1-2 games, they jump way too early. Look at Liverpool's attacking play this season. I would say it's the least team I'm worrying about.
Having
trouble with scoring.
Yes.
But if you look at the end of last season as well, the way the team is playing at this moment, I think they've found a very good balance in that team, and they've got goal scorers all over the pitch when it comes to the final third.
Yeah, for me right now, they're a Champions League spot contender. Yes, that's what I'm saying. I don't see them winning the league without a goal scorer, a proper
goal. So who's winning
scorer.
The league this season?
I think Chelsea is winning. Chelsea and City might...
I still think City's going to win the league.
And I think Tottenham would take the third spot, and it's between Arsenal and Liverpool about the fourth. That's my opinion.
I like it.
I think it's going to be strange time. We're going to have another few twists and turns again. I mean, 4 weeks ago you were saying the City. We were all saying like City looks like
you were saying.
Yeah.
Everybody's saying. But
who are
you two are insane by saying that you never said anything. Manchester City were every newspaper, every media, every manager, every pundit will say,
"I made my own choices."
And look at the betting. They're still high favorites to win the league. So everybody's saying that because every betting company is saying that. Everybody's betting on that. So, yes.
Yeah, but 2 weeks ago, Conte, they were closing the bookies.
Which is, but that is amazingly
stupid. They were closing the bookies on him losing his job. So,
and now 4 games in the one. Yeah. No, I'm just saying that.
Don't believe the hype, man. No,
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
No, but this is what I'm saying. This game 9 rounds, you're talking about who's going to win the league because they're playing well at the moment or this lacking goal scorer now. It's ridiculous. I mean, 6 weeks
ago... But this is the thing that...
City was the best team. Chelsea was shit. Manchester United was good.
I've never said Chelsea was shit. You have it on tape.
I'm talking general...
This is the thing that comes through from each season. Every season. It's someone like Arsenal are crying out for a goal scorer.
Yeah.
Cry for years. It's not just because they didn't score against Middlesbrough.
I don't agree. I don't agree that Liverpool doesn't have a striker. I think that is
who is the striker then?
I think Firmino in this formation, Firmino is doing a decent job. I think
decent, but you need to get the Premier.
Mane has scored fucking six
goals
already.
But he's not a striker though.
Yeah, but in that formation. They interchange they don't have a single. They don't have a Costa there. Are you watching the fucking Liverpool games? But they don't have one hard striker. The only time they do The only time they do that is when they switch and put Origi when they have one clear striker in there. That's the only time. So what do you mean? If Mane is scoring 6 goals, he's not a striker. He's playing in the fucking box. Okay. He's finishing every move off. How is he not a striker? How the fuck is he not a striker? They have three players. Coutinho, him, okay, so Firmino are three strikers in that formation. They got three forwards.
Mane will win the European goal scorer.
Come on.
No, so what I'm saying...
So Costa is definitely going to score 25 goals this season.
Do you believe that Liverpool won't have games or periods in this campaign?
Every team would have that.
No, okay, yeah. But if Chelsea has that, they still have Costa, right?
If he gets injured, we have them.
Okay?
No. You got Michel Batshuayi, who's been playing great.
I'm still saying, okay.
Yeah.
So, what I'm saying is, and I agree on this, a lot of Premiership teams just have really good coverage on the midfield when it comes to the defense and the offense.
But I would say that all over top teams in Europe.
No, not in Italy. We can come to that.
We're coming to Italy very soon.
Yeah, we can come to that.
They're not even in the fuck.
Don't go there. Okay.
Now you're being biased. No. If you're saying that it's only the Italian league who have top strikers, then you're more deluded than James.
No, I'm not saying that.
I'm not saying that.
They have better coverage. That's what I'm saying.
Because Locatelli scored me that better coverage than Liverpool.
But Locatelli is a defensive midfielder. Come on.
So I'm just saying.
They got better coverage up front. And I'm not saying in midfield.
So Milan has better cover than all the teams in Premier League.
What the fuck is
But you're saying what? Milan has better cover than
For instance, let's go for Juventus.
Yeah, let's go Juventus. That's the best team in Italian league.
No, but compare that. Okay, and which team has the best coverage up front in the Premiership then?
Compared to Juventus?
To whichever team.
Compared to Juventus, I would say coverage, that's not... I would say... Manchester City because Pep doesn't play a striker. Oh. He plays Kevin De Bruyne as number nine.
But what
false
are you
nine.
Saying then?
No, but he's got Aguero so and Kevin De Bruyne.
Okay, Kevin De Bruyne is not a striker, man.
But have you seen Pep play for the past 5 years? He doesn't play half the games. He doesn't play a traditional striker.
Yeah,
that's why people say Aguero might leave City.
Exactly.
So he played Kevin De Bruyne against Barcelona.
Exactly.
Work, but,
and what are they struggling for right now? For goals, right?
I think they're struggling for a fucking play.
No, okay, so what I'm trying to say is, if Juventus...
Well, that's Juventus. Other teams. Let me speak. That's one team.
Okay, so they have Higuain.
That's one team. That's one team.
Okay?
Yeah.
Okay, that's one team. And what I'm trying to say is, we have... In Italy, we got like a team like Roma, playing like City does, right?
Yeah, okay.
The same kind of formation, where Dzeko is almost, you know, the he is the lonesome striker. But still, they got Salah, they got Sharabi, right?
If you're saying Perotti. That, but if Mane is not a striker, how the fuck is Sharabi?
Sharabi's a striker. But as much as Mane.
No. Mane is getting the goals, but what else have they got? They've got nothing else. That's what he's saying.
I say the coverage.
Not world class,
baby. The coverage. Okay. Never mind. What I'm trying to say is, Liverpool will come to a period where the goals will not come.
But your own argument is wrong here. Now, if every team in the Premiership is lacking, then it doesn't matter.
No,
then nobody's better than you. Liverpool's the same as City, Chelsea, Tottenham.
But you're not getting my point. So, if Chelsea comes to that, they still have Costa. Liverpool doesn't have a prime striker. That's what I'm saying about Liverpool. That's my thing about Liverpool, and that's been the same case for Arsenal.
I think this goes so quick. Last season, that Sturridge, that was the prime striker. No, but all of a sudden, he doesn't exist now.
How many goals did he score last year?
But Klopp doesn't fancy him that much.
No, well, come on, the excuses.
He was injured for most of it.
Yeah, he was injured for most of it. Before that, he's got the highest scoring.
I know.
He's got the highest scoring rating, except for Aguero, and he's shit now.
I think that's
amazing.
I'm not saying he's shit. I say Sturridge. No.
He's not a goal scorer now.
No, I'm saying that, okay, he's not playing the way they're playing, okay? First off, if Sturridge right now is not giving them the goals, whatever reason, if he's been injured, if the formation is not, like, the best for him, right? But I'm saying, whenever they stumble up this period, that's when I think the league, and Chelsea being the team, taking command of this, you won't see
but
a longer...
But if Costa get injured, then who do they have that?
But what I'm saying is, the way Chelsea play, they have command. They have Batshuayi, right?
Extremely unproven.
They have Pedro.
I don't rate him as a goal scorer. No way.
But what I'm saying is, and they have Hazard, they have Willian, they have Oscar. You just look at this.
We could say the same thing about City.
No, but what about City?
We could say the same thing with Aguero, Sterling, Sané. You could just keep on mentioning players and just attacking.
Adil, just getting back to the point.
Yeah.
I think that Liverpool, compared to Chelsea, lack a good... You know, world class, and Sturridge is not world class right now. Just agree on that.
No, I agree.
And probably not this campaign.
I agree. I think Liverpool has a more settled team than Chelsea. That will help them this season.
He's been there one long year.
And
this is just, of course, guessing. I think Chelsea will, you know, gain a lot of having Costa compared to whatever Liverpool is doing right now.
Listen, I think Costa, of course, he's one of the best strikers in the league. To have him is great. Liverpool doesn't have that player.
Yeah, exactly.
But they have something else. They have a good team.
And that's working right now.
Generally,
I agree on that.
I think on Tottenham, you can go when Harry Kane is missing. It is lacking.
But if they had...
But he's missed only 3 games for the past year. So it's like, how much will he miss?
But what I'm saying is,
Arsenal,
if they had Costa against United, they would surely have won that game. That's my opinion.
Well, if United had Costa?
No, if Liverpool had Costa playing for them against United, they would
that's
surely
extremely
have...
hypothetical.
No, but,
that's
no, but,
extremely hypothetical.
Okay, no, just not Costa, just that kind of a player, right? That's what I'm saying. They're lacking
I think they lacked Aguero that game, but...
Yeah, whatever. Aguero as well. Yeah. Exactly.
I mean,
that's
the same time
of player. That's what I'm saying.
That's why Chelsea.
Okay, and I don't know. Costa didn't score yesterday, but he has those kind of qualities that Liverpool.
But he's still one player. I don't agree that they have cover for him. All the players you mentioned are attacking midfield forwards, as the other teams have a lot of.
No, I
didn't see with Costa goals. You think Micha Batshuayi, who is completely unproven, is better than a Sturridge?
No, but
that's ridiculous.
Okay, if Sturridge,
literally ridiculous.
If Sturridge goes off, and he's injured again, who will play in that?
Well, Danny Ings is not giving a minute to this team at the moment.
Origi, is that what you're saying?
No, but that's the strikers they have.
Yeah.
If he doesn't want to play a false nine, which I don't think he needs to. He can play Mane up front, who's played a striker at Southampton all the time. He can do that as
well. What did he have in Borussia that is lacking in Liverpool right now? Why do you think...
But Borussia Dortmund was a better team.
No, but
he had that team for six years.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you can't compare one season of Liverpool to without
still
you.
Still, what I'm saying is
6 years.
No, of course.
Stupid.
No, but this is
the, it's not the same. Of course, if he gets 2-3 more years, of course he'll change the team.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is,
what will he change the team to?
Yeah, exactly.
A better goal scorer.
A fullback, for sure. I think that's what he needs as well.
Goal scorer.
I mean, saying
they have
Lewandowski.
Lewandowski. They had Aubameyang. They have Royce. And this is what I'm still
saying. But Dortmund is miles ahead of Liverpool.
Yeah.
Miles ahead.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like
saying
Guardiola takes over Southampton.
But,
he's like, did you see what he had in Barcelona?
But we're talking about the Premiership contenders, right? So they need a striker to win. That's exactly what I'm saying.
But then you meant that every Premier League team needs a striker compared to Italian.
No. That's not what I'm saying.
I mean, it's not only Liverpool then, because the only team you mentioned who has a striker is Chelsea because you're in love with Conte. That's pretty obvious. So maybe it's pretty obvious. They only have one striker. You're talking about cover. Who are the covers at Chelsea?
Everton have got Lukaku.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, striker.
It's just
striker.
Liverpool. It's actually just Liverpool and Arsenal we're talking about.
Yeah.
What Arsenal they're playing instead? They're playing him in front. the little guy. So even the Chilean. So Sanchez is working out
for me. The way I see football, you won't win a league, a title without a complete, you know, 100% striker. That's what I'm saying.
So Vardy was world class last. He was the best striker in the world last season. Are you saying that?
He was one of them.
He got the goal.
He was one of them.
Yeah, but he got the goal. But listen to your argument. You said Tottenham do not have that because they only have one.
No.
But do we have no cover? But Chelsea has cover.
Okay.
How the fuck has Chelsea cover compared to Tottenham?
Okay.
What's the difference?
I'll try to break this down.
No, I understand what you say. I agree with you. Liverpool lacking a world class striker. That's for sure.
Okay.
I don't believe that is the only...
Tottenham. We said Arsenal and Liverpool.
Yeah, okay.
Tottenham have got Kane, but when he's injured, Chelsea doesn't have that problem.
Okay, can't you see that's subjective?
You're right.
Of course, it's exactly the same thing.
But you're not listening then.
And you said City don't have cover either.
Well, listen. Okay.
Listen!
Liverpool and Arsenal doesn't.
They don't have one.
They don't have one. Okay.
Oh, Sanchez, but okay.
No. They don't have one world class striker.
Okay.
Okay. Striker, just striker.
Striker.
Okay.
Get the term. This is like talking 1940s football.
Okay. I mean, saying that Sanchez is playing number nine for six games, he's not a striker. What are we discussing?
Okay, but listen.
Of course, he's a striker.
Okay, but listen. Liverpool and Arsenal are lacking a number nine. Okay.
Sure. Yeah,
okay.
We've said that five times now.
Yeah. The other teams has at least one.
Sure. We agreed on that as well.
Liverpool and Arsenal won't win the Premiership.
I understood that.
And
I just don't agree.
And compared to Italy, generally, all of the teams doesn't have.
But you mentioned Dzeko. How the fuck is Dzeko a world-class striker? That's a ridiculous argument.
Or how the fuck is Roma a world-class team? I just told you. Roma is, I would say, similar to
But you mentioned Dzeko as a great striker.
What Tottenham is for
all.
The Premiership is Roma for the Serie A.
Yeah, but
yeah,
I'm
it's not like one of the biggest teams.
Did you mention...
Dzeko is not an argument for their having great world-class strikers. It is not. For a minute, you can put Dzeko in the same bracket as Costa
or even Harry Kane. You're right.
So that's a stupid argument. I'm sorry.
But he's a lot better than Sturridge's. That's my point of view. He is.
Depending how you play, sure.
No, depending how you play. Yeah, okay.
Definitely depending how you play.
Did you mention Italy then? Let's talk about Italy.
If you
want to
have
a
team as movement, Dzeko's not good.
Yeah,
Sturridge is way better. Way better.
Roma moves the ball pretty well, depending how you play.
That's the same thing saying that Sanchez is not a striker. What do you mean? He's been living in the box. How many goals does he score?
You know, like last season and now. And, you know, he's more of a playing footballer.
I agree, that's what I'm trying to say. But I don't agree fully that you need a 25-goal It's a big plus.
To win the Premiership, it's a big plus.
But I don't think that's a must to score 25 goals.
But please tell me the last Premiership champion that had a goal scorer, that didn't have a top goal scorer? Just tell me one team. Even fucking Alan Shearer in 96.
I mean, everybody had a goal scorer, but if Liverpool win, they'll find one of those players will have a few goals.
No,
if they win.
You're saying they're getting goals from everywhere. What we're saying is you need that guy who's going to get you 20 goals, and they don't have that.
We started this. Like,
oh, they don't have it at the moment.
They will probably fight for the third or fourth. Maybe if they have a really, really good season, they will end up like third or second. That's what I can see.
But I think the whole argument, if you look back at it, is they're not playing in the Italian league, as everybody has 7 star strikers every team.
No, I'm not.
Taser. Forget that then. But they're playing in the Premier League, and the argument was all the teams are lacking this. So if one gets it, it's the same.
I think you're saying is you don't need that number 9
in
anymore,
the Premiership at this moment, because none of the teams, I would say, have what you would say is a 25 goal striker at the moment. None of the Aguero or Costa looks like they're going to score 25 goals this season. They're already lacking like 5 goals then. They're not going to score 25 plus.
Aguero will get you 25.
He's injured half the season. And under Pep, he would not get 25 now, because he's starting to play him less and less.
Okay, let's see.
And he's going
to
have a
problem. Let's go to Italy before we hurt each other.
Okay.
Juve...
How the fuck was that one? It shouldn't have been 9-8 or something with all the world-class strikers coming off the bench?
That was one of the better arguments
that
we've had on here. And good on you. That's what football's all about. But you're still an arsehole. Fuck it. So Juve, you're an arsehole. You just shout. You don't listen to the arguments.
Same argument 5 times. Yeah. I agree they don't have a world-class striker. I just don't agree that you have to have it.
Yeah, but okay. That's true. We're just speculating.
Let him speak.
We don't know yet.
My name is Adil.
Juve.
My name is Adil.
Exactly.
I'm repeating. It's repeat. I understood. I get it. I just don't agree. You don't have to say it over and over to me when I agree to disagree.
You don't
have to say it over and over. That's what I was saying. It's like, I understand. I get it. But I don't agree. Why do you need to say it again? But you were the ones who wasn't listening to me. I said it from the get-go.
I never listened to you. I don't even know.
So, case closed then.
Juve versus Milan.
Yeah.
Huge result, really.
Yeah, it is.
For the league.
Yeah, for the league as well. It's been pretty...
Do you think they can win the league?
AC Milan? No.
Do you think anybody else can win the league?
They've got a goal scorer.
No.
Oh, shit.
No.
Too many.
Okay, the reason AC Milan can't win the title is, first off, the midfield is too weak. Okay? And second of all, it's a lot of young players in this team. You know, we got the...
About time, though.
Yeah, we got the youngest squad in the whole Serie A, and this is
pretty funny. It went like that. They had the oldest team for years,
and I'm loving it.
Of course.
Not even, you know, even if we lost against Juventus, this is the way you start off from the beginning again. And you know, they didn't do this for a couple of years. They like, okay, let's get Torres and everybody else who's washed up, basically.
Yeah, they played like they did in the 90s without the big players, just names.
Exactly. But now they're not doing that.
Nah, of course.
And you know, we see, of course, Locatelli coming through, born in 98, you know, with a Milan heart, scoring the brilliant goal against Juventus. And you know, What I see in the Italian league is, I still think Juventus will win this league pretty easily. You know, they've gone to the city of Milan 2 times now and lost. We have a similar problem.
You did have 8 losses in a row against Juventus before this.
Yeah,
game,
exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So that was last win was 2012.
Yeah. 8 losses in a row is quite a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot. But
it's not without winning, it's losses.
Yeah,
it's very important for them to get that out of the way.
Exactly.
Winning is one thing, but losses is quite heavy in a cup final as well.
Exactly. I think with some luck and just purely looking at the teams and, you know, the strengths and so on and so forth, a lot of, you know, teams hasn't really performed that well this year compared to what they should. Like Inter, of course, 14th in the league. I think they asked Frank de Boer yesterday, are you going to be the head coach on Wednesday? Because it's a mid-week fixture as well. And he said, I don't know.
He probably gets sacked.
I think so as well.
14th is for that. Especially when they came in and tried to, you know, invest a little bit. Yeah.
They have actually invested a lot.
Yeah, but who did they sell as well? Didn't they sell a big name player as well? No, they didn't.
No, they didn't.
Not this year, no. They only bought.
They bought a lot. They bought a lot. They got Banega. They got this hype player from Brazil, Gabigol. They even made
But Gabigol, I mean, I think...
But of course, they've spent a lot of money this year. And they should be, you know, everything... You know, except a Champions League spot is a total disaster. And right now, they're 8 points off Milan. And that's, you know, for me, I was thinking, if we just end up with a European qualify spot, then I'm for so
sure.
satisfied.
For sure, yeah.
Now,
long time have you missed Europe?
3 years.
3 years, exactly.
3 years consecutively.
And that's way too much.
Yeah, last year's finishing off as 10th in the league. It's been a total darkness. But I think... that Milan, with a little bit of luck, could finish off top three this year. And now, 6 games in a row, I almost need to knock on wood, because 6 games in a row without a, you know, defeat, and things are looking great. But, you know, a really tough fixture tomorrow against Genoa.
It feels like that top four might be the top. I mean, not maybe in that order, but Juventus, Roma, Milan, Napoli.
I feel
like at the moment as the strong, traditionally strong teams as well, but at the moment strong people. Roma and Napoli have had some success lately anyway, so they're there, but Milan seems to be kind of back.
Yeah, I think what I, you know...
It's good for Italian football and European football, though, to have another good team like Milan.
Yeah.
And not... this might sound, you know, a bit condescending towards some team, but it's important to have like a Roma or a Milan up there, because that gives a different kind of approach for Juventus. For them, that they are real contenders, but a team like maybe even Kiev or Atlanta, then nobody really feel attention there.
No,
because even if there was a Roma and Milan behind them 2 points, you would think, oh, they're still safe, but it's 2 points only.
Yeah.
And these are good teams. So the league is back on track for sure. Juventus can have a bad spell
for
6-7 games. All of a sudden...
And they're lacking, you know, they have this amazing squad, but they're lacking one position. Where Hernanes is playing, and Hernanes is such a shitty player.
I'm so amazed with that
and
as well.
And it's like, and you know, the option they have is Lemina, a really young player from Gabon, raised in France though, but he's really good, but still he shouldn't play, you know, in the starting 11 of Juventus compared to what they had like for a couple of years ago or even like last season. So I think for sure Juventus will take this in the end. They're way much better than every other team. I think it would be, you know, December come, you'll have Juventus against Roma, you will have Milan against Roma, and you will have Napoli against Juventus next week.
And who's going down?
Okay, Crotone for sure.
Yeah, and we have 1 point on a 9 game.
And then I would say it's, you know, the way it's looking right now, I think it's between Empoli, Palermo. I think Pescara will go down. They got three points, you know, for free when playing Sassuolo, and Sassuolo had an unregistered player playing. So I would say that, because Pescara hasn't won yet in the
The real sense.
Yeah, exactly. So I say Empoli, Palermo. Palermo is struggling a lot. They have this crazy psychopath of a president called Samperini. Did you see what he said about? Did you see what they said about Hilly Mark?
He's absolutely insane.
Did you see this? So basically, they played against. Oh, let me remember. I think they played against last week. They played against Sassuolo, I think. Whatever. They were losing. They were 2-2 down in the half, and you know, in the 15th minute, somebody got injured. And Hilly Mark got brought in. He's been a regular like all of the season, but he was on the bench. He got in, and he did a really bad performance. So they substituted him again the half, right? And he said, he went out in media, said, "I don't know what this player is all about. Sometimes he's not doing anything. I think he's good, but he doesn't want to perform for it. I think he wants to go to somewhere else. But in the national team, he's really good." That's not a president. You know, you shouldn't be... That's not presidential.
But he's always been like
that. Yeah, he's crazy.
He says stuff like that all the time.
Yeah, it's crazy. Absolutely
insane. It's so hilarious.
So I think Palermo, for sure, this season, they've been dancing on the line for a couple of seasons. I think they're going down along with Pescara. I think Empoli will get theirs. They have a mid-table kind of team, really. So they should be higher up.
There was quite an amazing story with the goalkeeper as well.
Yes.
Italian keeper.
Yeah.
Puginio?
Yeah, Pugini.
Pugini, who was the third keeper from Chievo. And then Genoa came in and tried to sign him.
Yeah.
But he said no because all of his family are all Sampdoria fans.
Yeah.
And then that that pissed off Chievo massively, froze him out, wouldn't let him play, train and he nothing. Had to train.
Yeah.
And then when
his contract ran out.
Yeah, so when Sampdoria played Chievo, they had a thing, Pugini, one of our own. So when his contract expired, Sampdoria actually went and signed him. And then...
as a third choice keeper as well.
Yeah, yeah. Instead of losing his career.
Yeah.
And then they played Genoa this weekend.
And both goalkeepers were injured before.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he actually did a good game. Because it's a derby, of course. Yeah. And it was a really awesome game. I saw the game.
Yeah.
And, you know, he did some really decisive...
They won, didn't they?
Yeah, they won. They won.
What a great story, man.
Really great story.
And he's only got one arm.
Yeah.
So that's quite amazing as well. That's why they didn't want to sign him. Here's a question for you. The Ballon d'Or...
Change the game. You could have two goalkeepers, but they can have no arms.
Yeah, that's nice.
The Ballon d'Or?
No arms, no legs.
No, they are fine. They can have seven or eight.
But the Ballon d'Or came out today. There's a 30-man list, but they did it in alphabetical order, groups of five. Weird as fuck. Bale's in there somewhere. Messi's won it for 5 years, but who was the last player except Ronaldo and Messi to win it?
Oh, is this a quiz?
Yes.
Wait. Who was that?
Before Messi.
Cannavaro?
Messi and Ronaldo.
No,
2007.
Cannavaro 2006, right?
Yeah, 2006.
Cannavaro 2006, 2007 was...
Really thought you'd get this. Okay, awkward. Not the answer.
I don't remember.
Kaká.
Yeah,
Milan, of course.
Fuck.
I was thinking the Cannavaro one.
Yeah.
Right, let's have a quick roundup of the other leagues. La Liga...
Is it that long ago?
Yeah.
Is it 9 years ago somebody won Ballon d'Or except for the two of them?
Yeah.
Fuck. But it's fair.
It'll surely be like 5 years. Until someone else.
No, I think it's going to be shorter now. I mean, he's 30. It only takes one injury to Messi, and there will be somebody else. I mean, to be honest.
Okay, maybe. Yeah,
because Neymar is getting closer.
Yeah.
I think when they are going to finish, he's going to be alone for 2 years.
They will never give it to Suarez.
No.
Although he deserves it. He doesn't deserve it now.
I mean, he's been great, but Messi and Ronaldo are still better.
Yeah.
And last season, Ronaldo won the Euros. I think Ronaldo is for sure should win Champions League and the Euros.
Yeah.
The antics in the final, everything. I think...
But really, just based on the qualifiers, and maybe some of you will hate me for this, but no, not the qualifiers, sorry. Yeah, the championship this summer. Maybe Pepe should get it?
Impossible.
Yeah, I know. It is.
But
Cannavaro got it.
No, but listen.
2006 when they won.
Pepe, think deservedly get the best tournament player.
Yeah.
The thing, Cannavaro that year was because he was so good, but he was also
even the best tournament player. It was Pirlo in that.
Yeah,
tournament.
But I think that Cannavaro was very good in the league as well that year. Yeah. I mean, really decisive.
And Pepe was
Pepe's been good as well, but I think. But that year Cannavaro won. I think there were a few.
They go a lot of personality as well. They would never give it to Pepe.
A lot of people in Cannavaro won didn't agree completely.
Yeah.
Either. And I think the biggest thing is there was no dynamic players like Messi, Ronaldo, 2006 really dominated football the way they do. Even Kaká won 2007.
But if they won the Champions League,
but he didn't put effect on the game like Messi, Ronaldo. Could like 55 goals
that's
a season.
But that's true.
So, he wasn't a goal scorer, was he? So let's have a look at La Liga. Sevilla are top now. They won. They beat Atletico Madrid, so that's brilliant. They're doing great.
Yeah.
Barcelona left it late, won 3-2. Almost felt weirdly like it was gonna happen. Yeah. I don't know.
Messi was fucking furious on the fans there, though.
Did you see that?
Yeah. But you know, I know that people say that players shouldn't entice the crowd and thing. But there's a fucking limit, man. Of course he's going to be... They're sitting and abusing them entire game. Now they're throwing shit at them. Of course he's going to fucking react. I mean, I know he can't do that. But, you know, come on. And especially I like it when Messi does it. Because that means that he was really pissed.
Yeah.
I mean, he had enough. But he doesn't react that much.
I was just testing you actually about Sevilla being top, because you were like, you were both like, yeah, yeah, and I was, of course, Real Madrid won last night, so they're top of the league. You fools.
Morata scoring, I love.
And we saw a great goal by Prince.
Yeah,
Kevin Prince.
Nothing compares. he was good for Milan.
Yeah, he was good. He was good in the big games for a couple of years, and then he played. He had a spell last season. Do you know that?
Who are you talking about now?
Kevin Prince. He was back at Milan. Yeah, he scored in his first game, and then he was like, what the hell are we doing with this
so
guy?
So Schalke was the same thing. What the fuck is going on? They came out, did one good game in the beginning.
He scores these spectacular goals. It looks like the FIFA.
If you do a high reel of his career, then he would look like, fuck, what was this guy?
Yeah. But I mean, Huddersfield have bought some players off. If you look at the YouTube thing, you're like, fuck, we're going to win the league. We're going to win the Champions League. This guy is amazing.
I mean, how many times? I don't know if you guys, but before, at least not when it was new with this, that whenever a player was linked to your club, they made it like the club make a little. You're thinking, wow, this player. I mean, I saw a clip from, I remember, and I was laughing so bad because we saw it after he was done already. And I saw this clip, I was like, Aidan McGeady for Celtic. Like, see this. Interesting, because he's flopped so terribly at Everton. You look at that real man, and he looks like, fuck, maybe is this the Scottish Ronaldo? Yeah, I mean, it's just.
Maybe that's why Liverpool paid £40 million for Andy Carroll. They must have seen something that was so photoshopped.
It was absolute panic buy, though. Torres kind of went.
But you know, Liverpool made the mistake there. They actually had a. What rumors are saying, at least after that deal, is that they had a deal where Chelsea wanted to get Torres.
Yeah.
And they said that they kind of had to negotiate with Newcastle because they wanted a replacement that was Carroll.
Yeah.
But they wanted Torres plus $15 million for Carroll.
Okay.
So then Chelsea went.
Still doesn't make sense.
I mean, exactly. Then Chelsea kind of discussed with Newcastle how much the price would be, and that ended at 35. And then Torres cost. That's what they're saying. But still, $35 million for it happens. It happens in football. Do you make stupid buys?
It was such a bad decision.
Yeah.
That it I could compare it to, you know, the finance crash in New York. It was like, I got worried for my loan, my house loan. What the fuck are they doing? This guy doesn't deserve salary for playing football.
No, I mean, when they did buy him, he was looking...
He was tall.
He was looking like...
He had good hair.
Looked like a German porn star.
He was a proven goal scorer, and that's what Liverpool needed, and still do.
He wasn't a proven goal scorer. He was a
youngster... In the championship.
...that is a decent target man. That's it. And he had good, you know... Potential looked all right, but that's it. I mean, so if they would
Liverpool
have bought him for $10 million,
Abu Yaman, and that would be a game changer.
Why would he go there?
No, but I'm just saying, why the money is the money.
The money.
Yeah, it's pretty obvious.
Klopp.
Yeah. Why would anyone go to Liverpool? It's a fucking shitty city.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying whatever.
Even the Beatles didn't want to go there.
Exactly. Whatever Liverpool can offer Abu Yaman,
there
are like six other teams that can offer him twice as much.
Yeah, that's true.
Even Chelsea, even United, even City.
Yeah, but they don't
Chinese
need
team,
they
Milan.
Don't need
Yeah.
What?
And you know where he's raised. You know where his football is raised.
Wait, we have to go back there. So now you're saying none of those teams need Aubameyang. I'm fucking blown out of the fucking water. 30 minutes of talk. Nobody has a striker. And now nobody needs Aubameyang. Fuck this shit. Let's have this over. Episode 158 is coming to an end.
So Al Svensken, Malmo lost. Norrköping won. So it's cut down.
Everybody needs Aubameyang.
It's cut down to 4 points now. There's a few games tomorrow. That's quite great. Also, IFK.
Mariehamn.
Won the Finnish league,
which is a huge upset in the Finnish league. Of 12,000 people live in Mariehamn.
12,000 people, you know, and there's one family.
Basically.
Yeah,
but you know, the interesting point for me is
every Friday the population
could there
is
ever be an upset in the Finnish league?
Well, apparently it is.
Yeah. But, according to who?
Of course, the Finnish people.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, I'm not saying that I was surprised because I have no idea that was a huge surprise. But when I read it in Finland, they were like, "Oh, nobody believed it. It was amazing." Like, it's Mariehamn, man.
Would Mariehamn beat Huddersfield?
Wait, we won 93rd minute.
Oh, that's a good question.
Yeah, it is right?
It is. Oh, go fuck it.
Yeah, I think they would.
I think that's a decent question.
What about would Tottenham score a goal if Kane wasn't scoring?
Yeah.
Playing? No.
Because it's been 8 games, we scored 9 in 2. So, wait, that's 6 out of 8. We scored 6 out of 8. Oh, we didn't score those games. I mean, Vanilla Sky.
Leverkusen and Bournemouth, you would have won. You would have won those games if Kane was
proving
playing.
That whatever.
But
we
Kane
said
only
about
scored one
striker,
goal. Yeah. But Kane, no, but only, he's got one goal this season.
It's not about him always. It's about what him. He's opening, you know, new kind of areas for the other.
So
players.
Now you don't have to be a goal scorer. You can just be a great striker. So
okay.
This has been one of the longest pods we've ever done. It's been heated. I hope you've enjoyed it.
If you change,
now,
if you change,
thank you so much.
If you change
on,
one letter of that
I'm
sentence,
I'm thanking him,
no,
and you
say,
can't even let
change one letter of this has been the longest pod to an R instead of P, and the whole thing is way better. It's been the longest.
Wow!
And then you'll say that's what she said.
Wow!
But
shut up!
We didn't introduce him properly because we just realized that everybody hasn't heard him the last time. So now, after 1.5 hours, who are you, Kunal?
Okay, just a guy, I guess.
Yeah, he was on the Euro one. He was out there.
Yeah, and so then the lost tape.
The lost tape.
The lost tape. Yeah,
which was more heated than this. But
I just said in the end of that podcast, I told Adil, no 4-4. I told him no 4-4, and he's like,
he actually said
cuatro?
That Milan's gonna buy Harry Kane for sure.
Yeah,
for sure.
No, they nay. I said, what if they buy him?
Oh my
what
god!
What if they would? They would,
he ladies
such
and gentlemen.
An Indian, this is such an Indian liar. No, I didn't say that. It's not recording.
No,
sir, not
it's
recording. If it's not recorded, it's not true.
Yeah. End of the pod.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Fuck you, fuck you.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.